Chapter 12. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So what you're looking at is the equivalent of Israel's 4th of July, their birth as a nation, and their calendar would coincide with that. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And this would be the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make you count for the lamb. So God didn't want there to be a lot of leftovers. He didn't want any waste. This lamb would be a sacred thing. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And it had to be without blemish because this Passover lamb is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who was without spiritual blemish. And so that's what this lamb represented. It pointed to Jesus and his death on the cross. And just like this lamb will save the Israelites from death, the blood of Jesus saves us from eternal hell if we receive him as Lord and Savior. 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So they were to keep it for 4 days. And, you know, that could be long enough to grow attached to the little thing. And then they were to kill it. And they would probably feel some pain, some sadness in doing that. But, you know, that represented what the Father felt when he saw his son so abused and crucified for our sins. 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Put it on your door. And it would act as a barrier to God's judgment, as we will see. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And there was a reason for all of these, and I think it'll become clear. Verse 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden, and that would be boiled at all with water, but roast with fire, its head with its legs, and with the pertinence, or the entrails thereof. So it was to be roasted with fire. And of course, in Scripture, fire is symbolic of God's judgment. And this little lamb, these little lambs, would receive the fire of God's judgment in order to spare God's people from the death angel that would pass through Egypt. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ received the fire of God's judgment on our behalf. 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And so this was not to be dealt with in a careless manner, and was not allowed to rot, because again, this was sacred. 11. And thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And they were to eat that thing almost on the go. I mean, if it was any faster, they would have to go through the drive-thru to pick it up. And the reason is, this was the final judgment, and Israel would be set free. So they need to be ready to go. And here's what's going to happen. 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. God Almighty is going to kill all the firstborn in Egypt because of Pharaoh's stubborn refusal to let his child go. And in the process of doing this, none of Egypt's so-called gods will be able to stop God once and for all. Everybody will know. If they're not convinced yet, they will know that God is God and Egypt's so-called gods are nothing. 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when God Almighty sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your soul because you have received him as Lord and Savior, he will pass over you when it comes to judgment as well. And you will be safe, just as safe as the Israelites were in their homes if their homes had the blood on the door. I hope you see the parallel here. It's very, very important. 14, and this day shall be to you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. You have to do it every year, God is saying, because I never want you to forget what I did for you, how I established a sacrifice that spared you. 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. The feast of unleavened bread followed right on the heels of Passover. No leaven anywhere in the house. Why? Because in Scripture, leaven is symbolic of sin, of evil, and even of false doctrine. So the message is, after you are saved by the blood of the Lamb, then clean up your house and make sure there's no sin in your life. Repent of all sin immediately, and that's what Christians are to do. 16, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. So there are to be two Sabbaths, one at the beginning of unleavened bread, one at the end. Both of those days were to be kept holy, totally dedicated to the Lord God. 17, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by ordinance forever. And when it talks about the armies of Egypt, it's just talking about the masses of the people. God is going to bring them out, and you must never forget what he did for you, how he fought for you. 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. And there's the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 19. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house. For whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And again, I've got to emphasize, in Scripture, leaven is symbolic of sin. And God wants those that he has saved to be free of sin, to repent of all sin, to get it out of their life and live for him out of appreciation. That's what the symbolism is all about. It says in verse 20, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. And maybe I didn't mention this, but in case you didn't know, leaven is the same as yeast. Verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So Moses is now passing on the instructions that God gave him. 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. You got to stay inside. Stay within the protection of the blood of the Lamb. And we must persevere in Christ until the morning, until the end of our life, if we're going to be saved. The Bible says over and over again, he who perseveres to the end with Jesus shall be saved. So you can't go out of the house. Stay behind that blood, and you will be okay. Till God gives the all clear. 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and he will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. You'll be safe, as long as you obey the word of God, as long as you follow God's direction. 24, and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. Again, every year, this same time, this same day, do it. I don't want you to forget how God is your deliverer, how God is your savior. And, you know, we shouldn't forget that, because once we start forgetting that, we start taking God for granted, and then, sure enough, sin will follow. 25, and it shall come to pass when you become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. So it's not just for their wilderness journey, it's for the entire time that they're in the land. 26, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what mean you by this service? So the children who were not around when the original Passover took place, they're going to be curious, why do we do this? So you're going to use it as a learning tool, as a teaching tool. Your children ask, in years to come, what's this all about? 27, you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. And so, God doesn't want this Passover celebration, feast, to become just an empty religious ritual. He wants the people in the future to understand the meaning behind it, so that they reverence it, and so that it means something to them, and they know it means something to God. It's not just some empty religious ritual that they go through once a year. 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. They followed the word of God, just as Aaron and Moses gave it to them. You know, it's neat when your leaders, spiritual leaders, are in the word, and they hear from God, and they pass it on to the people, and then the people do it. That's when you have the blessings of God. It takes both of those things. 29, and it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. There were no respecters of persons with this death angel. From the highest to the lowest, they were dead. The firstborn were dead, just as God said. 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. What a horrendous, horrible judgment, punishment. And they had it coming. And Pharaoh woke up, and he heard it all. And I hope he realized that he was responsible for it all. Every single cry in the entire country, he was responsible for it, because he could have avoided it by submitting to the word of God. But look at verse 31. He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Get out of here. Just leave us. I guess that pushed him over the edge, at least for now. The death of his firstborn and all the crying and wailing throughout Egypt pushed Pharaoh over the edge. And 32, also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Pray for me. Pharaoh's asking for prayer. He's not holding anything back now. He wants Moses and Aaron to pray to their God for him. It seems like he's no longer a God in his own eyes. Never should have been in the first place. 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. If we don't get these Israelites out of here, we may be next. So far it's been our firstborn. Maybe if they don't leave in a hurry and we don't kick them out of here in a hurry, we might be next to go. They learned the hard way that the God of Israel plays hardball. 34, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. They didn't even wait for their bread to rise. They just took off without putting any yeast in their bread because they had to leave in haste. 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed, or they asked of the Egyptians, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they, it says lent to, but gave to them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They took away the valuables of the Egyptians before they left, and that was only proper, because they had worked for many, many years for nothing. And God is just, and he makes sure that those who take advantage of others will pay up. He evens the score. Sooner or later, you can trust God to do that. 37, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. 600,000 men, and got to be 1.5 million anyway, at least, if not 2 million people altogether, when you add children and wives. And it says in 38, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. The mixed multitude could have been Egyptians that were not really saved and committed to the God of Israel, but knew they didn't want to stay in Egypt. And that basket case, they wanted to go with the winner, which was Moses, Aaron, and the Israelites, and their God. They wanted to be on the side of blessing, and many of them didn't even know the God who blesses, and that's going to become apparent later on. 39. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual, any provisions. They just left with their shirt on the back, basically, and the dough, but like I said, didn't even take the time to let the yeast raise in it. Verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And that's what God said it would be. So he gave the people in the land that Israel will possess this much time to repent. And, of course, knowing that they won't, and therefore they will be thrust out of the land. But that was in part the reason for the delay. And it was also 430 years for Israel to grow into a nation in that incubator, which was Egypt, the land of Goshen. 41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt, 430 days to the day. God so often does things like that. And you say, well, that was a coincidence. No. God is a God of order. And don't just pass these things off like that when things happen like that as a coincidence. They are not. 42. It is a night to be much observed to the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And like we've said, every year, repeat this same Passover ritual. 43, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. In other words, no one who doesn't know me, no one who doesn't serve me. This is not to be some frivolous just party time where anybody can eat. 44, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. Now, there's the difference. It doesn't matter your social status. As long as you are a believer, as long as you have made a commitment to follow the God of Israel, you can partake of this feast. God will accept you. 46. In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth any of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. And the fact that not a bone of this Passover lamb was to be broken during the dinner may have puzzled them, because God didn't explain to them why it had to be that way. He just said, that's the way it needs to be. Don't break a bone. And we don't find out until the New Testament why that was the case. It's because, as I said, this Passover lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sins. And what does the Bible say about Jesus when he was on the cross? Not a bone was broken. And so even that minute detail was pictured in this Passover lamb. Now, they may have thought, well, that's a silly command. What does that have to do with anything? Not break a bone. It's dead. What difference does breaking a bone mean? Symbolism is important to God. You better obey, because it means something. And you don't want to destroy the type by disobeying God. Verse 47, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. No exceptions. You belong to Israel? You belong to God? Then you got to obey this. It's a requirement. It's part of your duty to God. 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Again, God will welcome anybody into his family, into his household, but it has to be on his terms. There has to be that repentance. There has to be a commitment. And the symbol of that commitment is circumcision, or it was back in the Old Testament days. 49. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and to the stranger that sojourns among you. Just a fair rule across the board. Same terms for everybody. 50. Thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. And there you have it. It was a long, hard road. The Israelites hung in there, and God did his work, and Moses and Aaron were his instruments. And now the children of Israel were set free from Egypt, just as God had promised the patriarchs long ago when they first went down to Egypt. Even before that, way before that, he promised Abraham when he promised him the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. He said, your children are going to be slaves, sojourners in a land not of their own for all these years, but I will bring them out. And over 400 years later, he kept his promise. God will keep his promise in his time, in his way. You can count on it.